Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the subject today, the issue that we're speaking on, living in a post-Christian world, a post-Christian generation. And that's where we are today. We're talking about the fact that so many today will place their confidence and trust in a political servant. I call them political servants. God created government with God's governmental leaders being the ones that we place in authority, but they are to be under the authority of God himself.
Amen.
And if any politician, ladies and gentlemen, let me just do a little footnote on that, then we'll take our caller. Any politician that will institute rules, regulations, guidelines called laws that's antithetical to the Word of God or that's antithetical to our Constitution are producing laws that are illegal, unconstitutional, unholy, and ungodly. And we find that taking place today on a rampant wholesale basis. And we need to understand what the Scripture says so that we can depend on God and not on government. In fact, in Psalms 146, verse 3, the Scripture says, "Put not your trust in princes nor in the sons of man in whom there is no help."
Amen.
We need
Amen.
To place our faith and trust and confidence in God. That's what our call is today. That's what our challenge to you today is, to place your faith and trust and confidence in God and not in government. Now, listen very carefully. I'm not saying that we ought not to have governmental leaders. I am all for that. I am delighted to be able to take part in seeing candidates that are qualified based on the Word of God, being qualified, run for office, to be put there to be God's representative for us as our representatives in the local government, the state House and Senate, and the national U.S. U.S. House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate. But, ladies and gentlemen, we can't place our faith and trust in them more than God. And that's what we find happening. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question and comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, Pastor Davis, how you guys doing today?
Oh, we are blessed.
Blessed and great. I'm thankful. Pray that you are.
Thank you, sir. I got to ask for you and your audience's forgiveness there. I call a couple times this week, and I get really fired up about Ukraine and the situation, and I'm somewhat a student of history, and I bring forth a lot of things there, but I'm forgetting that Jesus Christ is in charge, and as a child, and knowing that he's my king and my God,
amen,
that he's in control, and children of Jesus Christ are going to know when he's coming. I would like to add two things, because I'm in agreement that we're barreling headlong towards the end, but here's a couple of other things that actually are somewhat going to have to occur. Germany right now is polling more favorably, well, I don't know about since the Russian debacle, but prior to the Russian debacle, because they're getting 40% of their energy there, they want better relations with Russia than they do the United States.
Right.
We're nothing more than a piggy bank for them. People, Christians, need to be paying attention to the NATO member Turkey, their current leader, Erdogan, is quite radical, and public opinion has shifted radically in Turkey against the United States.
Yes.
If you look at where the Ukraine is on the Black Sea, the Dardanelles Straits is a strategic area. And then, of course, Turkey was called Asia Minor, which Paul walked all through and evangelized, which is now a Muslim nation. But
yes,
that is right north of Syria. And Syria is the nation that Russia is in right now. So once you start seeing those three really combined together there, we're going to be getting real close. I believe that you're correct. It may not be tomorrow, may not be in the next year, but it's going to have to happen because God said so.
Absolutely. When you make that statement, and I believe our listeners need to have a little better understanding, you look at geography and you look at the location of the Black Sea. North of the Black Sea, you find Ukraine, and you find just south of the Black Sea, you find Turkey, which, as you said, was old Asia Minor. And that's where Paul traveled, and the seven churches of Revelation chapter 2 and 3 is found there. And it's a sad, sad shame to see where it was in Paul's day with the lively churches. Some of them were dead churches, but that's very much like today. But to find it today in the hands of the Islamics and what it stands for and what they're doing, but finding Syria has had Russian troops, Russian tanks, Russian armament, Russian materiel, and Russian authority and control there for years and years and years now. And when you find Turkey now very rapidly becoming a pawn in the hands of Russia or going along with Russia. And then when you look at Ezekiel 38 and 39, and you realize that Iran, which is old Persia, you look at Turkey, Iran, Germany, Syria, Libya, and Germany being the foremost that will follow Russia and ultimately coming against the nation of Israel. And now, Jim, for our listeners' benefit and edification, that's not just hypothetical. It's not just some conspiracy theory. We're talking about seeing the hand of God moving based upon the Word of God. We look back at Ezekiel 37, and we find where it was the prophetic text about the Valley of Dry Bones becoming alive, and that took place in May 15, 1948, when Israel became a nation, reconstituted as a nation after 2,500 years of being a diaspora around the globe, came together as a nation. God fulfilled that, and now we see since 1948, when Israel became a nation, God's disengaging more and more with the Gentile nations, reengaging with the Jewish nation of Israel. And as we watch what is happening with the collapse in Ukraine, with thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Jewish people going back to the homeland, going back to Israel, we're finding again biblical prophetic text being fulfilled. And so my position is warning the listeners, not from a negative standpoint, but from a positive, negative, that though it sounds negative, it is positive because God's word is being fulfilled. And as Christians, we need to get back to the Word of God. I believe, Jim, and I'm not being negative toward our listening audience, but we've got thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people as Christians that's in our listening audience that do not know the Word of God. They're not studying the Word. And my passion is to teach the Word, preach the Word, and see people, Christians, grow in the Word of God. That's our only hope, is through the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's the Prince of Peace, the only one that'll ultimately bring peace. So, brother, you're exactly right, and I pray that our listeners will take hold of the Word of God and start learning the Word, studying the Word, memorizing the Word, and allowing the Word of God to be prima facie evidence in their lives that they've said yes to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you so much for your call, Jim. Have a blessed day. Keep looking up.
You too, sir.
Redemption draweth nigh. Thank you, and God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Perhaps you have a question, a biblical question, about some of the things we're talking about, like where do you find it, why do you say that, what's your premise of that. If you want to disagree, that's fine. We'll get to heaven. We'll see who's right and who's wrong. That's all right. But we'd love to hear from you, 831-0917. Pastor Davis, I'm looking at an article. When you think about what's needed in Ukraine, what's needed in America, what's needed around the globe is more from God. One Ukrainian seminary president said that in Lviv, that's one of the cities there, becomes a refuge shelter for hundreds and hundreds of refugees. He said, and I quote, "We need a miracle from God. As Russian forces continue to press into Ukraine, stories of Ukrainian bravery, patriotism, and faith continues to come out of that country. One of those stories is from the president of the Ukrainian Baptist Theological Seminary in Lviv." He's been the president there in that seminary since 2013. He says, he initially believed he and his wife would be safe in Lviv. As the conflict continued, they realized they would not be exempt from the onslaught. We thought that Lviv is a safe place. He goes on to say, as he told the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in an interview last Saturday, but it turned out, he said, that Lviv is not a safe place. We have air raid sirens on and off. We've been hit by ballistic missiles about 20 kilometers away, and we kind of lost that safety feeling. He goes on to say they feel specially kinship of Gideon in the biblical story, since they're a small army against a great one. He says what we need is intervention and a miracle from God. Hmm. And, Pastor, I believe that's evidence. Here's a nation. Here's a people, Ukraine, that based on what we're finding now, that the overwhelming majority of them had no faith in God. There was not a recognition of God. One of them here points out the statement here, we need more Bibles. Ukrainian bookstore says they're out of Bibles because people encounter Scripture for the first time in their lives amid the Russian crisis. The thirst for hope and the spread of uncertainty have been so rampant in the Ukraine that at least one Christian bookstore has totally run out of Bibles. And he goes on to talk about the pastors and priests over the past several weeks have been flocking to the Bible bookstores to buy Bibles for their people.
My.
So that indicates they were without the Word of God, and now they're realizing their only hope is to look up.
Amen.
And to realize that God is the one, and the way we know God is through knowing Him through His Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Amen. Well, you know, Dr. Youngblood, as you were saying that, it was just going through my mind, and I pray that it doesn't happen, but I'm just hoping that God doesn't have to use another catastrophe like 9/11 or something to get people's attention.
In America, yes.
Because from the way this sounds, which you just got finished reading, they have turned their backs on God. Now they want to experience a move from Him.
Yes.
Now, the only way I know that they're going to do that biblically is to repent.
Repent.
Repent means to change your mind. You got to turn around, mm-hmm. change direction.
That's right.
And come back to God.
Yes.
Now, when you come back to Him, and you receive Him, then He can do something for you. But up until that point in time, if you're just asking for help and you're not serious from your heart, the old people used to tell us in the church, I dare you to call on Jesus' name and mean it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you really mean it when you call upon Him, that means repenting and everything of your sins, and now you're turning away.
That's right.
From the old life, the way that you used to live, think, act, do, see things, all these different things like that, you have to abandon that, and you have to come to Christ and receive Him and His righteousness based on His word. Then you can experience a move from Him.
Absolutely.
But up until that time, Dr. Youngblood, I'm afraid it will be Katie by the door.
You got it.
If they don't do something fast to get back to God.
Well, you see, when you go back, Pastor, you go back to the Old Testament dealing with Israel, they would stray away from God, they would rebel against God, they'd turn against God, they'd disobey God, basically laugh in God's face. God would bring them into captivity. God would send another nation to come in and almost eviscerate them, and then they would turn back to God. There's a need in America today, before it's too late, before it gets to that crucial point,
Amen.
For our nation to turn back to God.
Amen.
We find today, just as in the Apostle Paul's day when he said to young Timothy, he said, for the time will come when they will not endure, put up with, tolerate sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables.
Amen.
Paul says in that fifth verse, though, Pastor, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, but, that's a contrast, change of direction. But he's talking to Timothy. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist. What is that? It's a messenger of the gospel. Make full proof of thy ministry.
Amen.
So, Pastor, one of the things that we need to understand and that our listeners need to understand, there's a lot of false teaching out there because people like to hear what tickles the ears. They like to hear some new thing, as the Apostle Paul said in Acts 17:17, as he speaks on Mars Hill. He says, I perceive, brother, that you're here for either for one or two things, to see or to hear some new thing.
Amen.
There are a lot of people today in our churches that want to see or hear some new thing.
Amen.
I'd rather hear the old news of the gospel than to hear some or see some new thing.
Amen.
And
Amen.
As a result of that, we have strayed away from God, strayed away from the Word of God, and as a result of that, we find our nation, our people, even Christians, they're looking to government for the total control of the educational system, looking to government to control our medical care. They're looking to government today to provide everything in our lives. And the government's doing it.
Amen.
They're taking control of the mind, will, and emotion of the citizens in general. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not anti-government. I'm not trying to say there needs to be tyranny in America. I'm not saying that we need to reject or to cancel government. I'm not saying that we need to defund the police,
Amen.
As some are saying. I think we need to refund the police and provide them with all the tools they need, with the tools to carry out justice in America, the tools to go out and do the investigation, the tools to protect us as citizens. But at the same time, ladies and gentlemen, we can't place our faith and trust in the system that we're in today. We need to place our faith and trust in the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As we look back, Pastor, with America and the globe, with America in particular we're talking about today, that put our faith and trust in the government, we faced lockdowns on every hand. We faced the crushing of the businesses. We faced lockdowns of the churches. We faced the mask mandate, and now the vaccination mandate that's entering in. And the reason, and I find it absolutely fascinating and sad, and perhaps our listeners have not analyzed it this way, but there was a need to wear a mask, according to the federal government, up through February the 28th. On March the 1st, the day of Biden's speech to the nation, on March the 1st, we no longer needed masks.
Amen. Amen. I noticed that.
So if the mask was good on February the 28th, why wasn't the mask required on March the 1st?
My.
What did one day 24-hour cycle do? Did the science change in 24 hours? Did the total scientific research that they supposedly had lied to us about, did that totally change overnight? No. It's because we've been lied to and lied to and lied to by the CDC, the NIH, the FDA, and all of the other apparatuses of the government to take full control of our lives. And, Pastor, the sad, sad thing in my mind is to see so many Christians that are willing to bow, to bend and submit, and even to the point of taking the jab. Nevertheless, the fact with Matt Staver with Liberty Council, Matt Staver is probably the only one that's got a number that's close to reality. About 400,000 plus have died because of the COVID jab, and about 1.25 million people have been harmed irreparably so with their health as a result of the COVID jab.
Amen.
And yet 21 states right now, Pastor, already have instituted a COVID pass on your cell telephone with what's called a QR code can show that you've had your vaccination.
Wow.
So how far do we have to plummet as a nation before the people will look up and recognize that we need to turn back to God?
Amen. Amen.
We're living in a post-Christian era, a post-Christian world today, and that's the thing that we must – if we do not recognize that it's going to be eternally too late, it may be now.
Amen.
I don't know the stand that God's at with his judgment. I don't know where God is in his eschatological prophetic timetable, but I do know we're rapidly getting to the point where you've got to have a COVID pass, that you have your QR code, and they have, just like with the Zapper, where they check your temperature when you go in stores now today and doctor's offices, they'll point that little device, the QR reader, the reader that will determine and look at your basic information health-wise that will be open to the world via that QR code to say you can come in and buy and sell and shop and trade. And we've had a lot of people, naysayers, that will say, well, that's just a ten-horn conspiracy theory. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're fast-tracking for the day when the Antichrist will step on the scene after the rapture of the church, and you'll have to have that QR code. You'll have to have that pass on your cell phone. But because it can be replicated, duplicated, imitated, and counterfeited, it will ultimately be in the hand or the head based on Revelation the 13th chapter.
Amen.
Now, Pastor, our listeners can laugh at that, or they can poo-poo that, as they say, or they can embrace that, but that's where we're headed.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you'd like to join in the dialogue discussion, or if you've got a question, comment, biblical question, theological, doctrinal question, or you'd like to put in your 2 cents worth, the lines are open. Love to hear from you. 831-0917. Call that number. Join in the dialogue and discussion.
Amen.
Pastor,
amen.
I believe God's showing us every day that he is bringing about his complete fulfillment of the Word of God.
Amen.
I believe God's writing, if you please, the handwriting on the wall, God's saying, enough is enough of where you're going as Americans. Enough is enough of what you're doing and depleting my name. Enough is enough with you dissing my name. Enough is enough with you refusing to obey my word. And I believe we're watching that today when it's coming to fruition of what God's word has already said. I get excited about seeing God's word being fulfilled in the daily news, the daily newspapers, et cetera.
Amen.
When they were
Amen.
Showing the video footage last evening on some of the news with the nuclear reactor, the nuclear plant in Russia and Ukraine being on fire with the Russian artillery had hit it, I said to my wife then, I said, we're watching the spark of World War III.
Amen.
We're watching
Amen.
The spark.
Amen.
And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, and this is just young blood talking, I believe that we're going to see the decimation, the devastation of Ukraine, but I believe, just as in one of the online news articles this morning, where some Russian aircraft have flown over the airspace in Sweden and making threatening, if you please, maneuvers against the Swedish people, Russia's Putin has already said if Sweden and Finland goes into NATO, that he will destroy them.
My.
We're watching a crazy man called Vladimir Putin. I believe he's a tool that is being used of Satan, but under the auspices and the authority of God, to bring about the spark of what can be the conflagration on a worldwide basis that leads into the final battle that's called the Battle of Armageddon.
Amen.
We're
Amen.
Watching that come about. But, Pastor, there's a good point to that.
Good Amen.
News. That if we're saved, if you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, you won't be here. I won't be here.
Amen.
We're going to already be beamed up.
Poof.
All gone. And in the twinkling, in the moment, in the twinkling of the eye, we'll be up and out of here.
Amen.
I believe we have Billy on the line. Billy, go over with your question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
Yes, sir, I am. Thank you, Lord. I'm alive because of the Lord.
Amen.
I thought I would just give you a quick testimony about COVID and remdesivir. Is that okay?
All right. Yes, go right ahead, yes.
Yeah, I went into the hospital because they thought I might be having a stroke. Thank you, Lord, it turned out not to be that. But while I was in there, they tested me for COVID, and of course, I tested positive.
Oh, of
and
course you did.
They started me on a remdesivir drip for 5 nights in a row. And they did this drip at 11 o'clock at night, sometime. But every night between 11 and 11:30 for 5 nights in a row, they were giving me remdesivir. And I noticed that I was feeling worse and worse. And I didn't realize until after I got out of the hospital, I recovered and read up on the remdesivir drip a little bit, that they were actually poisoning me.
Yes.
Wow.
And
wow.
And after the fifth night of this remdesivir, I started having extreme difficulty breathing, and I was, thank you, Lord, able to call for a nurse. And the nurse came in there, and they started respiratory resuscitation on me and actually put me on a ventilator for 5 days.
Wow.
And, of course, I did not realize it at the time. I was in a coma, but the good Lord said, no, you're not going to take him just yet. And I was able to come off of the ventilator and over time, you know, slowly recover and regain my health. Thank you, Lord, for that.
But, Amen.
I just want people to realize that's a poison.
Absolutely.
They're actually using a poison on the people.
A poison.
And,
but, brother, may I interject and simply say this. You're extremely, extremely, extremely fortunate because remdesivir will kill you. It destroys the pancreas. It destroys the liver. It destroys the kidneys. And as a result of that, then, they're forced to put you on the ventilator, and after 14 days on the ventilator, because your body is absolutely put in a coma state by using propofol, fentanyl, and one of the other major drugs, your body is put in a animated state. And in doing so, if they keep you on that ventilator more than 14 days, 86% of those on a ventilator for over 14 days do not come out of the hospital's front door. They go out of the hospital's back door.
My.
As a result of that, I can simply say you're extremely, extremely fortunate that you're alive. And I use the word fortunate. You're blessed of God. In fact, it's the World Health Organization, Dr. Tedros, which is not even a medical doctor, but the World Health Organization just 2 months ago made a statement. You can go on their website and discover it if they haven't taken it down, that remdesivir is not to be used. It will kill you. They're finally recognizing that that's been used. But the key to it is, your hospital, when they put you on the ventilator, that hospital received $300,000 from the CARES funds, that's taxpayer dollars, for the COVID funds out of the Biden administration. When they put you on the ventilator, they got the $300,000. When they started the remdesivir drip, as they would call it, they were getting another additional fees. The hospitals are making more money today than in the history of medical in the United States of America as a result of the COVID funds, and they're killing people for the dollars. The average person that stays in the hospital that's being deemed with COVID, if they're in their 30, 60 to 90 days, the hospital is getting between $1 and $2 million. So they do not want you to survive. They're not caring whether you survive or not. They are disinterested. In fact, the Ascension Hospital System in 2000 to 2021, from 2020 to 2021, had a $1.9 billion profit as a result of COVID. So, brother, I'm thankful for your testimony. If God brought you out of that, that is not the norm. It is the miracle of God, and that's all we can call it. But thank you so much for your call and for your testimony. Keep on looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Pastor Davis.
Amen.
We've got about 45 seconds left on the broadcast. Will you wrap up our conversation today? And what should be the challenge? What should we be saying to our listening audience as a wrap-up of what we've talked about?
Well, we just want you to be encouraged by everything that we said on today, and we hope and pray that you will catch a hold of faith, regardless of all that's going on, and just realize that God is still in control. The book of 2 Peter chapter 3, amen, verse number 8 says, "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Amen? So, amen. All we have to do is hold on to God's unchanging hand. He's still in control no matter what. Trust in God with all your heart.
Amen. With that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.